Welcome to Innovation. I'm Kara Hetland. Thanks so much for joining us today. We're going to start our program at the Black Hills Surgical Hospital studio at our Black Hills studios in Rapid City. Eric Morrison joins us. He's a graduate student at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology. Eric, thanks so much for being with me today. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So you're part of a team that has built an air purifier. So let's talk a little bit about this project and how you got involved.
Sure. So the Lux Zeppelin, or LZ experiment, is a dark matter search experiment located in Lead, South Dakota, at the Sanford Underground Research Facility. Mm-hmm. The detector is currently sitting a mile underground in the Homestake Mine, where final construction is taking place. Now, the main goal of LZ is to observe an interaction between a WIMP dark matter particle and a xenon atom. Now, the WIMP, which stands for Weakly Interacting Massive Particle, is just one of many candidates for dark matter, but it is viewed as the most promising, so that's what our experiment focuses on.
So this is, so you're talking about the LZ experiment. So that's what it's focusing on. So it's, and we've done many programs from the 48, 50 foot level. And so the LZ is this giant detector. It's about, it's larger than the one that was in place before.
Yes.
And about 100 times more sensitive than the one that was in place before. And so the LZ is being built, but talk a little bit about then how radon actually influences this experiment.
Sure. So there are particles that can create a false positive signal for the WIMP, and we refer to these particles as our background. And so the largest background for LZ comes from the decay daughters of radon. Now, radon exists as a very non-reactive gas that is produced from the uranium decay chain. And because uranium is found in most rocks on Earth, there is a constant supply of the low concentration of radon in the atmosphere. Now, radon decays into elements that are metals at room temperature. So upon a radon decay in air, the metallic daughter may attach itself onto a piece of dust or a nearby surface. And if these daughters attach, or plate out, as we say, onto the materials we use to build our detector, then they can create false positive WIMP signals throughout the lifetime of the experiment, which is very bad.
Okay, so radon is a dangerous chemical, right, underground?
Yes, yep.
And so there is an air handling system in the underground research facility so it's safe for humans to be down there.
It is, yeah.
But not safe enough for a sensitive experiment.
Yeah, not safe enough for the materials we're using.
Okay.
So our goal is to limit the radon contamination of these materials so that if we do end up seeing the signal that looks like the WIMP, we may say with more certainty that we've found it. And without this radon mitigation, it'd be a lot tougher for us to convince the scientific community and the world that what we observed was actually the WIMP.
So you're taking as much of the background noise out of it as you can.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay. So enter the School of Mines and Technology, right?
Yep. So enter where our system comes into play.
Okay.
So the radon filter, which I oversee, removes radon from the air by sending it through a vessel filled with activated carbon, much like a Brita filter we use for water. So the reason this works is because carbon and radon are attracted to each other, while the nitrogen and oxygen in the air just passes through the carbon unimpeded.
And so this is just in the room where the detector is located?
This is a few rooms down, and then we send this air into the water tank where the detector is located.
Oh, you pump the clean air in.
We pump the clean air in, yep.
Hmm.
Yep. So now we use the activated carbon because it has an extremely large surface area. 1 gram of this stuff makes 32,000 square feet of real estate available for these radon atoms. So this gives the radon atoms plenty of sites where they may attach to the carbon and be removed from the air.
And so you've been involved working on this mitigation system for how long?
I've been involved in this research for 2 years now, once I finished my classes at School of Mines.
So this radon, this type of air purification wasn't there for the other detector?
No, the previous experiment, Lux, did not have this radon mitigation.
Okay. So this is our, like, we need to do a little better with the air quality.
Yes.
Right?
Yep. So the overall goal for this was to just reduce those contamination backgrounds, because that's our biggest background. So it's a major factor in determining the WIMP signal.
Are there other contaminants in the background than radon, or is that the biggest one?
That's by far the largest one. Yeah. There are some other ones like krypton that we worry about in the liquid xenon, but doesn't nearly cause as big of a problem as the radon does.
Okay. So how did you then come up with designing this system?
So this system was designed by my advisor back when he was working at Syracuse University. And then when he moved over to School of Mines, he rebuilt it. So we have a demonstration system at our lab on campus, which we continually test and update. And then we have this experiment, or this system, for LZ. And then we also are currently building another one for the super CDMS experiment that's taking place up in Canada.
Right. So it's becoming a standard.
Yeah, it's becoming more mainstream in the scientific community here for these dark matter search experiments.
And describe what it looks like for me.
So it looks like we have an air handling rack, which has a bunch of dehumidifiers and chillers on it. And so that conditions the air, because we want it to be cool and dry when we set it into the carbon tanks. So there's two carbon tanks, which we use to swing the air through, and so that we're always outputting the clean radon air. And then outside of that, we have a couple vacuum pumps, which pull the air through the system and can also pump down one of the tanks to low pressure for a regeneration phase. So as we're flowing air through one of the tanks, we're regenerating the other tank by bringing it down to low pressure and then sending air through it, the clean air, back up through it, and it knocks off all the radon atoms from the carbon and cleans it out.
How large is this?
It's a little large. The room that we're in now, it's kind of tight. It's maybe about 15 by 10 foot room, so it can fit in that. But the air handling rack is pretty large. The carbon tanks themselves are maybe 8 feet tall. So it's a pretty large system. It's not something that you'd be able to have in your home.
That was my next question, yeah. Eric. I mean, but would there be some type of commercial, kind of a lower scale, smaller scale, something that could be developed from this?
So we actually spent some time looking into the commercial viability of the radon filter. Because I'm sure people are familiar with having their homes checked for radon, which, we should be aware of, because it's the leading cause of lung cancer for non-smokers. So it's a pretty big deal. So we thought maybe if we could make it smaller, it'd be a viable product. But it turns out there's already plenty of other cheaper and more reasonable solutions for the home. And you wouldn't need the kind of reduction that this system gives. It gives over 1,000 times reduction, and you just wouldn't need that for in the home. It'd be overkill.
Well, you'd feel safe.
Oh, yeah, you definitely feel safe.
So you're already taking treated air already through the air handling system that's in the underground lab, right? So you're already kind of taking one that has been kind of gone through a filter before?
So it goes through some filtering, but of course that filtering can't pull out the radon. And so that's the main thing that we're trying to get rid of. But yes, the air that we were using and putting through our air handling rack and then through the carbon, it is pre-filtered, so it doesn't have many dust particles in it and stuff like that.
Okay. But, I mean, they're saying that it's safe for humans to not get lung cancer if you're down there often, right?
So no, yeah. The concentrations are still low enough where on a daily basis you're not getting the radon levels that are dangerous to you.
So
if you lived down there permanently for years,
you'd have a problem.
Yeah, then maybe you'd have a problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is already in place, built, and ready to go for LZ to be up and running.
Yep, this is already in place. I've been working on it and testing it for the past few months, and now it's currently sending the low radon air into the water tank where the detector is. And they're doing the final construction on it. It should be done within a couple more months here, and then we're going to turn it on.
Okay, and you mentioned that you also have a similar system at the Snow Lab in Canada.
Yes. So that I don't work on that one personally. That's another member of my group. But it's the same system, pretty much. They were up there just a few weeks ago doing some final work on that. I think they're waiting for just one more part of the system to come online for through the mine there, and then they're going to turn that on and start testing that as well.
And is there interest from other underground labs around the world?
So yeah, there's interest in some underground labs in Korea and Japan. There's actually another company called Ateco, which builds these radon filters. It's a different style than ours, but those mines have employed the Ateco to build some radon filters for them. But it is becoming, at least for dark matter search experiments, this is becoming a norm to have this kind of radon mitigation.
And so do you see this large scale kind of filter system that's at the School of Mines? Do you see that kind of going as its own small business?
So yeah, we had looked into the home, being in the home, and that wasn't really viable. But where the radon filter may be of use eventually is in the construction of semiconductors.
Mm-hmm.
So for the same reason we worry about radon in LZ, the semiconductors may accumulate radon contamination while they're being made. And this could cause malfunctions in the chip later on. So especially as the chips are becoming smaller and smaller, the radon contamination will pose a bigger problem. So this is something that we're looking into, where the radon filter may be useful on a larger scale for this semiconductor business.
Is it fair to say, Eric, that this is going to become kind of the scientific community industry standard of air filtering?
I think at least for the dark matter experiments, it is, because it depends on what your experiment's looking for. So for these rare, low search experiments, we need to take these steps so that we can essentially reduce all the signals in our detectors so that we can just see these things that we're looking for. But for other experiments, they don't necessarily worry about radon as much. And so for them, they probably wouldn't need to invest in this kind of system.
And how much scientific proof did you have to provide that this is, that what you're saying is actually fact?
That the radon filter actually, yeah. So we've done a lot of testing on our system. I've been doing testing for a few months now, tweaking different things. And so we measure the radon input to the system and the radon output. And so those direct measurements allow us to quantify the reduction. And so I've been playing with the system, and we've got it down. We've got it to where we're getting about a factor of 1,000 times reduction from the air underground.
And what was your major?
My major in undergrad was astrophysics and mathematics.
Okay.
I double majored at CU Boulder.
And did you ever anticipate this is where your future was going to lead you?
No, I really did not. It was a happy accident that I came here and got involved with this experiment. But I'm very glad I did. This is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to work on something so important. So I'm really glad it worked out.
And what's next for you?
Well, so I have another 2 years here probably, and then I'd like to get back to Colorado. I really liked it there. So I'd want to work at a national lab in Colorado probably, or work in an industry job there.
Okay. Well, Eric, I want to thank you so much for taking time and coming on the program today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kara, for having me on.
Eric Morrison is a graduate student at South Dakota School of Mines and Technology and is part of the team that has built the air purifier that has reduced radon in the air to about 50 times lower than typical outdoor air.